This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Paul Eppie. How are you, Paul?
I'm good.
Excellent. Last week we were talking about the UVC project that you were doing and we sort of discovered a bit about it. This week we want to talk a wee bit about some of the results and some of the conclusions or lack of conclusions that we'll have on it. Okay, let's talk about some of the issues associated with these machines, because even if you had the machine that completely encompasses it, you got the right wattage or joules that you want to put into the plant, the big issue I would have thought is compaction with it and also energy to drive it. They seem to be two issues for me anyway. How heavy are these machines and do they need to be on a tractor, which means you're still doing tractor passes?
So the beauty about this machine was, first, it's very light compared to a tractor. Really light. I can't give you a proportion, but I would say it's lighter than a normal, than the lightest tractor. It's a very small machine.
And is it self-propelled?
Yes. So it works. It was electric. Actually, the way that machine was designed, the bottom part of it is called a barrow. So it's a robot. It's an automated robot that was loaded with a suit of sensors. So it has camera, LiDAR, and many other sensors that were mounted on it to allow it to drive autonomously, between grapevine rows. And you can deploy a fleet of those robots. Actually, that barrow is used in other sectors, in other, agricultural sectors, for harvesting and for other activities. So it's quite a useful piece of equipment. So they just adapted it and put the UV machine on top of it. And so it's small. And actually, we were also testing a way of adding other equipment like a mower, so that when it is applying your UV light, it's also mowing your sword.
Weeding,
correct. So it's quite light and the compaction is not as high because it's a light vehicle. It's not going to have the same level of compaction as a normal tractor. Now, because the operator is not driving it, you just come at night, you press a button, press start, and it goes. Off it goes.
Yeah.
So it goes up and down, does its own thing, and then comes back to the shed. And then you turn it off, plug it in to charge, to recharge the battery, and off you go.
Nice.
Easy. Pretty simple to manage.
Labor cost is lower. Compaction is lower.
Yes.
It doesn't use diesel.
No.
And so it can be electric, so it can be very environmentally friendly.
Correct. So the environmental footprint of it was just perfect.
Okay.
Now, people also were raising some questions regarding the effect of that UV light on other organisms. Because we are targeting powdery, but what about other beneficial organisms, that are also out there in the vineyard, for example, some beneficial insect, for some beneficial fungi that can be used, that can contribute to your fermentation or wine quality or wine aromas.
On the grape itself, you've got bloom, which has got lots of yeast.
Exactly.
So does that mean wild ferments weren't necessarily a possibility?
So those were the questions that we couldn't answer because we wanted first to see whether the technology worked.
Yes.
And those will be the second layer of investigations after the first one. And unfortunately, we couldn't go forward. However, what we did was to make some wine out of the grapes that we picked from the UV-treated vines and the fungicide-treated vines, and to see whether the wine and juice composition was affected by those treatments. We got some result.
Was there differences?
In terms of basic metabolite, no. So pH, TA, and soluble solid was similar. I think the differences came up on secondary metabolites. So what we did was to take the grapes from the control, the vines that received fungicide every 10 days, the combination of fungicide every 10 days in alternation with UV light every 10 days and UV light standalone every 5 days. So those were the only three treatments that we made wine out of. And interestingly, we got some interesting results in terms of the juice composition and the wine composition. So the UV light every 5 days, for example, had higher soluble solid compared to the fungicide alone.
What does soluble solid mean?
Sugar.
Sugar levels.
Yes, so sugar level in your grape juice. We couldn't say for sure what could have contributed to that, but one speculation is because your UV treatment is generating more light, so potentially that is increasing your photosynthesis, especially at night. Usually at night, vines don't do photosynthesis.
Yep.
But because you have more light during those hours where you're applying, maybe something is going on and allowing, you know, those vines to synthesize more sugar. And again, those are just speculation. We didn't measure anything along those lines to establish it. But that's what we observe on the finished juice. It had a significantly more sugar concentration than the non-UV treated grapes.
When you say significantly more, like 1%, 2% or?
I will give you some of the numbers that we got here. So soluble solid on control was 22 bricks and on UV every 5 days was 23. So 1 brick's difference.
Yeah, so 4%.
For us, it's significant. Now, we need to be careful here because in viticulture, you need at least 2 or 3 years of trial just to start forming, you know, a good picture of what you're observing. Mm. 1 year is just a trend. So yeah, I would say these are just trends that we are seeing. We can't say for sure that it's set on stone, but that's what we got anyway. Everything else along the lines of primary metabolite was quite similar in the juice. No major differences. Now, one important finding that we noticed was thiols, because there is a relationship between sulfur and thiols. So sulfur is usually a precursor of thiols. So the more sulfur you have, the more concentrated in thiols your juice and your wine will be. The thiols level were not as high on the UV treated vine as on the control. Some compounds like methoxyparaxins were fairly low on UV treated vines and fairly high on control vines. Now, phenolics were high on UV-treated vines and low on control vines. So low phenolics definitely on control vines compared to UV-treated vines. But other aromatic compounds such as methoxyparaxins, 3MH, 3MHA, 4MMP were fairly high on control vines and low on UV treated vines.
So what you're saying is that things like the grassy flavors you get in grapes were lower on the UV treated vines.
Correct.
Whereas on the control, they were higher. So it's a way of maybe reducing the grassy green pepper notes in a wine, perhaps?
I would say the conclusion is, because we wanted to see whether UV treatment can have an effect on your wine, final wine quality. Because anything that you do in the vineyard has an impact on your final product.
Yes, right.
We can't just change things in the vineyard and then cross our hands and say, fine, job done.
Yep.
We want to make sure that the final product's quality is maintained.
That's right.
And so that's why we decided to pick a few grapes, you know, on those treatments to check and see what happens in a winery. And one thing that we noticed was, yes, UV light can impact your wine composition, can have an effect on your wine quality, can alter the concentration of some of your primary and secondary metabolite. Now, in which direction? 1 year of study is not enough to provide that information, but that is worth investigating. And for us, this was interesting because even in the literature, most of the work was only done in vineyard. Most of the tests were only done in vineyard. Very little. I didn't find anything at that stage that was done in wineries to see the carryover effect of those UV treatment on fermentation and final wine composition. So this, I would say, it was an early study or a pilot study just to give us some insight of what that UV light can have on your wine.
What was the outcome?
Yes, so methoxyparaxins were definitely lower on the UV light treated grapes and higher on the control. So, you know, fungicide treated grapes. And those methoxyparaxins were 3MH and 3MHA.
Methoxyparaxins I normally associate with grassy flavors, green pepper flavors, that type of thing. So
yes,
the wine didn't have that sort of raw, sort of green herbaceous character, or less of that raw herbaceous character.
Less of it, Now, there is one other thing that we did. It was the typicity. So the typicity of Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And the control, which is the fungicide-treated grapes, were rated high. So 7.5 in the scale of typicity. Whereas the UV-treated vines were rated about 5.2.
Okay.
Which means the UV light treatment altered some of the attributes of that describe the typicity of Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc.
That's an important finding.
Exactly. So it's just a 1 year or one vintage result, but it's good to keep that in the back of your mind. And if we resume or we open that project again, it will be interesting to see how several vintages of UV treatment can have on the final wine.
Also, Sauvignon Blanc isn't unique, but methoxypyrazines aren't common. And in wines like Cabernet Sauvignon, they're not desirable either.
Mm.
So it could be that UV treatment in Cabernet Sauvignon might be actually the way to go to improve the quality of the wine, whereas in Sauvignon Blanc, it reduces the typicity because people expect that in that wine. So different grape varieties might have a different need for it.
Yes, and this is quite interesting because this research overseas was done on different varieties. So in the US, for example, it was done on Chardonnay. In Australia, it was done on Shiraz.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were getting those results across those various, you know, reports that, hey, this technology actually works well. And the thing is, they don't have the same susceptibility to powdery. The environment is not exactly the same. The level of infection that you get there, the pressure of the disease is not exactly the same. And as you just indicated, the final product, the final wine, doesn't have the same attributes, you see? So that's why we really wanted to dig deeper into this technology to see every aspect of it, not just hearsay, test it and see what effect it can have in the final product.
Okay.
You know, the glass, the wine that you have in your glass.
So the takeout for Marlborough is it's still a work in progress for adoption here.
Yes, there is potential. We need more research to confirm that.
Spoken like a true researcher. Okay, then. I think we'll wrap it up there now, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Mm.